Psalm 20, we've titled this, Victory Belongs to the Lord. William Gurnall made this statement. He was a Puritan preacher back in the 1600s. One Almighty is more than all mighties. Plural. You have to think about that one. Can you give me a verse to go with that? Okay, greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, with God all things are possible. Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's a question in the Bible that also emphasizes one Almighty is more than all mighties. Can you think of that verse? If God... Right. Well, in this psalm, we see that prayer offered up for victory in the battle. This was a psalm written by King David. It was to be sung among the people, more likely in the time of preparation for going to war against the enemies of Israel. Now, we can make application as believers every day to this psalm as we battle our own enemy, who is Satan. Satan is the only enemy that we as believers have. Now, yes, we are our own worst enemy, we say. But our real enemy is the devil, because he's God's enemy. We just like to trip ourselves up without really thinking we're doing so. And so as we think about this, let's look at Psalm 20, verse 1 through 5. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all the offerings and accept the burnt offering, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our Lord we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, if this were a psalm that was to be sung in preparation before battle, we would title the first point, The Requests of the People to God in the King's Behalf. First, verse 1, we would see, they say, may God hear and answer your prayers in a time of distress and defend you. In verse 2, may God give you the needed help and strength from heaven. Point C, may God remember the personal relationship that you have with him. And point D, may God grant your requests and give you divine wisdom. Now, if you don't mind writing out in the margin on your notes, since you're already writing on that sheet, would you put somewhere on the right side or the left, pray for the pastor. Pray that God would hear and answer my prayers in time of distress and defend me. Pray that God would give me the needed help and strength that I need from heaven. Pray that God would remember the personal relationship that I have with him and help that to grow. Pray that God would grant the request that I make of him and give me divine wisdom. So I thought about this. I thought that is a fantastic prayer for a church to pray for its pastor. This is something the people were praying for David, for God to do this in his life. Because not only was he their king, but he was their leader. And their future depended on his decision making and the direction in which he led the nation. One thing we learn about David, he was a man that did commit some serious sin in his lifetime. But he was a man that sought after God. And he was a man that wanted to lead the people after God. And it's a wonderful thought to think that God used this imperfect man to such a mighty degree that he is one of the strong foundations in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, we see that the summary is given here. In point 2, the summary of their desires of God's intervention in the king's behalf. First of all, verse 5, for that we will rejoice in thy salvation. We are trusting God to give you deliverance. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. They were trusting in God to give David deliverance and the army's deliverance because they were trusting in God alone. They had set up the banners of God to be their banners. When they went to war, they wanted people to know that they were God's people. They were the Jewish nation, and they And David wanted them to sing that. David wanted to drive that home to their hearts. You and I have to live that way. We need to hold high the banner of God. We need to wave it freely. And we need to use it as a token of our allegiance to our God. That no matter what, we are a body of believers dedicated to following our God. And then the last part of verse 5, the Lord fulfill all thy petition. So we're trusting God to give you deliverance because we are trusting in God alone and we're expecting God to honor your personal requests. Then we come to verse 6 through 8. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. We see in the first part of verse 6, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. Assurance of God's protection and deliverance. I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Anticipation of seeing God's power displayed in bringing about victory for the king. Assurance, anticipation. And point C, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You have assurance, you have anticipation, and then you have analyzation, or analyzing the difference in sources of power. And it's important in our lives that we look at what or in whom we're trusting. And if we're not trusting in God alone, believing that the things He brings into our life that provide us with needs and supplies and food and money to pay the bills and health and strength and safety, what all those things that we don't believe that He brings them into our life and gives them to us, then we're looking at it from the wrong direction. God has to be the underlying basis for all of this. Because if you don't have that, and you're trusting in your employment to be your deliverer or your savior, and if something happens to you physically and you can't go back to work, what are you going to trust in then? Who are you going to rely on then? So we must constantly have God as the underlying source of strength and survival, knowing that all the things that we have that He's given to us, He has done it, not we ourselves. For a believer that's trusting in the stock market to provide them with their retirement, what will happen if the stock market totally bottoms out and doesn't revive? What will happen in the time frame that the slow spiral goes back up of the stock market and the value of all their assets and the things they've entrusted into their income in the stock market? They went from having major money to little or no money. Who will they rest in then? As believers, God has to be the basis on which we rest everything and trust in Him for everything. And so we see this analyzing of the difference in the sources of power. One, there are those who trust in something other than God. What are they? A, chariots and horses. Chariots and horses in that day were symbols of great power and battle strength, like nuclear weapons today. We trust in our nuclear arsenal. Secondly, the powers that be are nothing to Almighty God. They're nothing. So there are those that trust in something other than God. Two, there are those who trust in God. Notice the last part of verse 7, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The word remember means bring to remembrance. In other words, constantly reminding ourselves who we are trusting in. Constantly reminding ourselves of who butters our bread. Who pays our electric bill. Who puts money in the bank. Who pays for the groceries. Who puts gas in the car. Who pays the electric bill and the gas bill and the water bill and the house payment and the insurance payments. Who is it? It's not my job. It's not my wise management of my money. It's God. I could be the best manager in the world, but if I don't have anything to manage, so it's God. It's God that gives me everything. It's God that provides for me. It's God that takes care of me. And it's God that has given me all these different things that I can rejoice in. Every night when I go to bed, I'm thankful to God for a roof over my head and a bed in which to sleep. To say nothing of all the many other things that God has done for me that day. And so we find bringing to remembrance. We have here, point B, a determination not to forget the source of all power and victory. I will make it a point to remind myself who is in charge. I will make it a point to remind myself that one Almighty is more than all mighties. A determination. See, in the heat of the battle, one may easily forget where the victory comes from. Unless they have determined not to forget God. And when life happens, if we aren't practicing this thing of determining to remember God, life can cause us to lose our focus. So we find assurance of God's protection and deliverance, anticipation of seeing God's power displayed in bringing about victory for the king, analyzing the difference in sources of power, and D, analyzing the results found in the different sources of power. He says in verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. What is the analysis of the results? For those trusting in the powers of the world, defeat is inevitable. It is inevitable. For those trusting in the power of God, victory is sure. It is sure. Then, point 4, verse number 9, save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. We see the response of those who see their great need of God's intervention for victory. First of all, they say, save, Lord, or give deliverance and victory, O Lord God. Remembering that victory comes from no one or no other place than God. That's who we go to. That's who we call on. That's who we ask for victory. And we ask for it over and over and over again. And even if we don't think we're seeing it at the time, we don't stop asking because we're not going to get it from any other source than God. He is the only one that is going to give us victory in any and every situation. Save, Lord. B, let the king hear us when we call. Or let the one, capital one, in power hear and answer our requests when we pray believing. So we have here this psalm that was written for preparation for war. Getting mentally prepared so that they could view what they ought to view when they went out to face the enemy. David is a wonderful example of that long before he became king. The day he went out to face Goliath. And he told Goliath, you have all this weaponry that you come it with. But I'm simply coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And we see what happened. This is how we get victory. This is how we keep victorious. By constantly remembering who really is in charge. And constantly calling upon Him to do the things that we're asking Him to do. And it works. Our Father, I thank You for Your truth. I thank You for the encouragement we receive from Your Word. I thank You for the value of it. I thank You, Father, that we are allowed the privilege of being able to call upon You and talk with You personally, to share our heart with You. Our burdens, our concerns, our fears, our doubts, our struggles, our wishes for ourselves, for others. And we have that wide open door to communicate with You and to bring our petitions and requests before the throne of God. Knowing that You hear us and You answer us, Father, as You please. And we always want it that way, Lord. When we come to You and ask something, maybe we come in the heat of the moment and ask something that if we really thought about it, we'd know that's not Your will. So, Father, we preface our prayers now and our prayers in the future that when we come to You, we want Your will done because we know that Your will is the best way. We are trusting in You. We are trusting in the Almighty and not in all the mighties. Keep us through this week. Help us to glorify you and rejoice as we meet together again about what you're doing. So we ask our petition in Jesus' name. Amen.